M-I-X.
Rob, check your mic real quick for me.
Check. Hello. Hi. How are you?
That's good. That's good stuff, Rob. Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Okie dokie.
Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. From AsthmaCore Studios near Detroit, Michigan, it's Unregimented.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
It's Unregimented. I'm Chris.
This is Aaron.
This is Rob.
Special guest Mikey B on the couch.
On the couch with Mary.
What up, Mikey B?
Yep. So, it is Wednesday. It is, when you hear this, it'll be Monday. But for us, it's Wednesday. It's a couple days before the 4th of July.
Yep.
Happy birthday, America. Couple things wanted to start out with. Like to thank you for liking Christopher Media on Facebook, following us on Twitter. For this show, it is at Unregimented Pod. Just thank you for everybody who's listened so far. I keep an eye on the statistics all the time. There's lots of you listening. Thank you. And please, if you like it, tell somebody.
Spread the word.
Yeah. Share with a friend.
It's how this gets down. You have to tell somebody. You can subscribe now to any Christopher Media show on iTunes just by clicking through the banner on ChristopherMedia.net. So there's no need to go anywhere else but ChristopherMedia.net now.
The number one source for all Christopher Media.
Yeah, kind of makes sense since it's in the name. And two, if you happen to hang out on iTunes and perhaps buy a song or an app or something, they will throw us a little bit of change.
Clear your cookies first.
Yes, please.
If you want to get the hit, you got to clear your cookies.
Yeah.
Clear the cookies.
That's how the intranet works. You can also support Christopher Media by donating using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. Please click through the Amazon banner and bookmark the page. When you buy something, Amazon will also kick us back a little money to keep Christopher Media going. And if you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of your favorite Christopher Media shows, like Unregimented.
And The Weedsman.
Yes, The Metalhead Offensive, Eminem Question Everything, and
Toddzilla X.
Yes, the new sensation that's sweeping the nation. Well, sort of. We're accomplishing our goal. We got Toddzilla's out of Chicago. You got the metal show is out of Tampa. Eminem are out of Rochester, New York. We're out of Detroit. So we're
diversifying.
We're building a nice little network here. If you know of any podcasts that would like the help, put them in touch with us. We're looking to help spread the word. You know, we need to get a little bit more out west.
Yeah.
Maybe some more East Coast and then eventually the world.
Yeah, take it out.
But I think I've officially hoard everything out. You know, sad news. America's birth week.
Sad news?
Yes. Sad news.
Yeah. What's the sad news?
Well, if you give a fuck, we lost in the World Cup.
Oh, right. So this is the last time we're going to talk about soccer?
Yes, last time we're going to pretend to care about soccer. Just like everybody else. Sad. And I will give it up to Mikey B. I'll say this so eliminated. People can hear it. Mikey B, actually, he's the one person I know that actually does like soccer.
He loves it.
Mike's going to talk about soccer next year, and he's going to talk about soccer the year after that, and he's going to talk about it. He buys FIFA every year.
And I still will not care.
Yes.
And has many, you know, he's a soccer fan overall.
Unfortunately, our point that we all celebrate is there's not too many guys like Mike.
Well, they seem to be increasing in number. No, Mike's shaking his head. No, he feels more and more alienated as each year goes right. by.
That's the
he's
same.
Pushed more towards the fringe of sports.
It's like the same lie we keep hearing that Detroit's been coming back.
How does it feel to be less popular than women's basketball?
Oh, you know what? It's true.
It's true. Yeah.
There's a sustainable major league women's basketball league. It has been for some time.
Yeah.
The soccer leagues keep revolving.
Well, should we jump right into the Supreme Court decision? That seems to be the talk of the town.
America. Might as well talk about American things.
Yeah. Yep. Well, if you're not aware, I mean, it seems like a lot of people are following this, so I'm sure we're not talking to very many people that are ignorant on this issue. But if you haven't been following it, there was a decision, a court case was against Hobby Lobby. Actually, Hobby Lobby, I would say the way around, Hobby Lobby was suing for its right to deny birth control, certain forms of birth control, to people covered under their health insurance. Well, I guess basically because they are a Christian organization or business, and which I guess, you know, I guess businesses can have, if they can be people, they can have religion. The idea is that to them, it's tantamount to abortion, preventing birth in certain ways. Argue what you will about that. That's kind of a different subject. What we're talking about in this court case is that it really comes down to religious freedom, because they actually found in favor of Hobby Lobby's freedom to deny certain forms of health care.
They're a private company.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, their gut reaction is to disagree with it because they disagree with Hobby Lobby, which I disagree with Hobby Lobby in general, but we're talking about basic rights. And that's what the court looked at too, I think. In a 5-4 decision, they said, yeah, it's within your rights to not have to compromise your religious principles just to please others. And
you shouldn't have to be forced to do so by the government.
Right. Absolutely. You could argue that, it's part of Obamacare, the providing birth control for women. And you could argue that that is their right too, to birth control. But when we're talking about basic rights, the freedom to practice your religion is in the Bill of Rights. It's the First Amendment to the Constitution. It's right in there with freedom of speech.
Yep,
you know, and there's nothing in the Constitution. I don't mean to sound like somebody who's just trying to talk bad about Obamacare, but there's nothing in the Constitution that says that we deserve health care. Right? There's very little.
Oh,
about
I know that, and I've argued that point. But the first argument that people will bring up is it's part of the whole life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
No,
which it isn't.
Yeah, no, I don't think
which
so.
Isn't it in the Declaration of Independence?
Like, not the life, as in, will protect you from other people trying to blow us up. In general, liberty, the fact that we enjoy a lot of freedoms here that most countries don't. Pursuit of happiness is the only thing that I'm just like, whatever that means.
But that's the one thing where a lot of people will. That's the one. Because it's open. Open for interpretation.
There is one phrase I can take out.
That's the one people will parade out and say, it's part of pursuit of happiness.
It's what makes me happy.
Yeah.
Like it or not, healthcare is a business.
Yeah. Well,
you are not entitled.
The bigger picture here,
to the service of a business.
If it affected more people, I might be more apt to say that Hobby Lobby was overreaching. But every court decision is really based upon people's rights rubbing up against each other. You know, the women who are insured have certain rights, and so does Hobby Lobby. I think it's the greater right for them to practice their religion. In the news report that I read in Reuters, they estimated that 1,000 women could be affected by this, which means that I guess they're looking at how many women of sexual age.
1,000 women who are at-will employees who can choose to go work somewhere else.
Either they themselves are employed or their spouse is employed and they're covered somehow by Hobby Lobby's health insurance plan. But yes, to me, this is the same. This is like if somebody chose not to carry a product in their store because they found it personally offensive. You know, they have that right, just as you have the right to shop somewhere else that carries the stuff that you want. I know it's not that cut and dry when it comes to somebody's job, but let's face it, anytime you work for somebody else, you're compromising your principles. You're understanding that you're not doing things based on your principles. You're doing it based on the organization's principles.
Yeah, you're agreeing to their terms to work for them.
Yeah.
That's what
you're
doing.
And that's part of their terms, is they don't want to have to compromise their religious beliefs. I don't agree with their religious beliefs at all. I vehemently disagree with them. I think they're ignorant and backwards. And I honestly hope that there is a backlash against Hobby Lobby as far as people just deciding not to do business with them.
I never fucking heard of them until this shit started.
Which is probably what's going to happen. But I will defend with my last breath their right to practice whatever wacko religion they want to. That's part of the system we have set up.
Right.
Yeah, the same right that was defended for them is the same right that I am to say batshit crazy for believing in all that.
And, you know, we saw some extreme examples of people taking that logic that the Supreme Court applied to that decision and extrapolating it. Like,
yeah, the internet.
The one that I saw was... what was the one that you saw?
It said that you should be able to walk away.
Oh, it's about your student debt?
From your student loan debt. Because the Bible says that debt should be forgiven every 7 years. So you should exercise that right to the federal government. Well, I don't know what the...
Right, so the federal government trying to call in their student loan on your that they gave you is going against their religious beliefs because, according to their religion, all debt should be forgiven after 7 years. And those...
Okay. Now, the points I was trying to make, I was trying to connect the dots with, is how does your right to not have the government infringe upon what you should believe tie into the terms of a contract you agreed to?
Yeah.
You know, like it seems today, the internet and its wonderful and informed population. It a lot of people seem to have taken this as the government has ruled on religion, as endorsing the Bible. No, they're not endorsing it at all. They're endorsing religious
freedom.
Yes.
I mean, unfortunately, when you endorse religious freedom, when you endorse freedom of speech, when you endorse freedom of press, you endorse a lot of ignorant speech and behavior. You endorse a lot of stupid, backwards people. But that's the only choice that we really have if we want to expect everybody to enjoy the same freedoms. So, you know, be glad when you hear an idiot on television, because he's just exercising the same right that you have. And the only reason you're probably mad is because he's got more of a soapbox than you do.
Yeah.
To express his ideas.
Like, why is that idiot on TV and I'm fucking in my kitchen?
Right. Well, because he has people who want to listen to him.
Yeah, because maybe he's not as big of an idiot as you think.
Well, maybe. Maybe not. I think hurrah for the Supreme Court, because they could have buckled to popular opinion on this and had a bigger mess on their hands overall, I think, in the end. But still, it would have been easy to go with the people, quote unquote, on this. But they really did, because, I mean, they went with the people's basic rights.
Yes, they did. In the end, they did go with the people, because this would have been that would have been a very, very slippery slope, because then it would have opened the door to the government can now tell you what to believe, can now tell you what beliefs you can and cannot enforce. But they didn't. Hey,
yeah.
One out of 1,000 ain't bad, you know?
Right.
Government gets something right every once in a while. Or at least they give us the perception that they got something right.
Yeah, well, I have to say, I think in general, the Supreme Court does a pretty good job of upholding basic human rights. They get a lot of things wrong on technology. They get a lot of things wrong on, they get a lot of things wrong in general. Let's just put it that way. But when it comes to organizations or police forces overreaching their, I think the Supreme Court does an excellent job of reining those things in.
For now.
Well, do you want to talk about the other decision, that the less talked about decision about the public unions? That's kind of a conversation. I mean, it's a relatively small decision. Now, Rao, I don't think we mentioned this to you, but there was a case that came before them in Illinois. The local government decided to put together an in-home healthcare system so that the idea was to keep older people from having to be in homes or be homeless. And it was very successful. But they were unionized. I guess there was issues that some people didn't want to. They thought it was against their. It was violating their rights to have to pay dues into the union. And the Supreme Court actually upheld that right of theirs to not have to pay into the union if they didn't agree with it, even though they would still enjoy the benefits of the union. The negotiation on.
We did this
benefits.
In Michigan a couple years ago called Right to Work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And oh boy, did it not go over well around here. But it's Motor City. We're a union state.
Unions,
But we talked earlier, and I've had this conversation 1,000 times. They have outgrown their need. Or I should say their message is now stale and needs to evolve.
Like religion?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, this could actually have widespread implications. Who knows? I mean, based on that principle, anybody should be able to challenge paying in dues, whether they see benefits from it or not, which will just cripple unions.
Well, membership's been on the decline for the last 20 years, so... I mean, they're driving hard. Obama made it easier to form a union. It's one of the first things he enacted.
Mm-hmm.
It's now much easier to form a union than it used to be, and that's where you're getting your things like these fast food protests and things like that, because it's much easier for these people to union up, and so now there's
exactly.
unions forming all over
the
country.
Well, I experienced that. I worked at Guitar Center during unionization of their New York store, and I think I don't know if their Chicago store actually unionized or if it was just threatening to. But yeah, it is starting to pop up all over the place. But these are small movements overall. Mm. It's like I guess I don't know what the numbers are on this. You said that people who are involved in unions, the numbers are actually going down.
Oh, yeah.
Even though we've got newer unions like fast food unions and retail workers unions popping up, they're still declining overall.
Yes.
Yeah. So
no, because they're not serving, they no longer serve the purpose that they were formed for. They need to evolve. Mm-hmm. Now,
well,
they're
maybe
just,
this is the evolution. I mean, maybe the fast food workers and retail workers, these unions are the unions of the future, and we're just getting rid of the old way of doing things, which is, you know, the guy doing half the work of anybody else and getting paid $38
an hour. Well, no,
because
the thing is the structures are still the same.
Yeah.
It's the thing. It's still the same antiquated system. It's just easier to form a new union in it.
The system certainly seemed to work when it was needed. And
yeah, but that was 100 years ago.
Not 100 years ago, but it did give us our middle class in America, basically. And it, you know, got rid of a lot of good things, or got rid of a lot of bad things, I should say, like, you know, child work, long hours. But in general, I guess, you know, they just got greedy.
Mm-hmm.
It was what it comes down to.
Yeah, you could see that happening in a lot of the unions around Michigan.
Yeah,
they just get greedy.
They're just political action committees in a sense. They're fundraisers for themselves. They manipulate the political systems wherever they're at. It just seems like their message needs to evolve. It needs to turn into workers' rights have evolved. The whole reason that they were formed in a sense was for workers' rights.
Yeah,
workers' rights 100 years ago are different now. The whole thing is when I talk like this, when I have this conversation, mm-hmm. it's the first thing. Well, thank you for the 40-hour work week. And thank you for that. And
right.
Yeah, it's because kids can't work, and it's 100 years ago.
Sure. Okay. Great. Thank you, 40-hour work, or thank you, unions, for 40-hour work week. Or I could move to Spain.
What are you doing now? What are you doing now?
Right.
You're collecting dues and fill in the blank. Because from what I've seen, at least here in Detroit, it means you can't get fired. One thing I don't like about it is everybody should be held to the same standards, and they're not. Mm-hmm. If I go to work and get hammered and stoned on my lunch break, guess who's not coming home with a job?
Right.
Me.
Right.
You know, but there was a big news story around here about 3 or 4 years ago. There were guys actually videotaped on their lunch break, drinking 40s,
yeah.
smoking joints, yeah. didn't get fired. Still working to this day for Chrysler. Why? Why are they held to a special set of rules? Because they pay to belong to a club.
Right, yeah. I experienced the new right to work laws in action here in Michigan when I was fired from my last job, you know, and when I was fired under circumstances which I'm not going to get into, but I think were unfair. And when I explored the idea of challenging them legally on that, I was told, no, you live in a right to work state, and that's just how it is. They don't have to have a reason to fire you. And I mean, bigger picture, honestly, as pissed off as I am about getting fired,
well, no,
from,
it would say it's
that,
not it's not only right to work, it's an at will.
An at will, yeah. I'm sorry. Yes.
It's at will is what it is.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's correct.
Yeah, at will means at any time they can go, yeah, this isn't working out.
I've been on the other side of that as a manager trying to, you know, I have a person on staff who is a cancer to the rest of the operation, and I want to get rid of them. I've been stuck in situations where you have to prepare your paperwork on this guy that you
yeah,
know
I
isn't going to work out.
The other part of this is, yes, we're at will, but the other fun part of it, because of our sweet and awesome litigious society, is you have to have a goddamn paper trail. You know, you can push, you can trumpet the at-will status all you want, but right. if you don't have a sufficient paper trail and they get you to court...
Because they can claim...
You're just going to be writing them a check.
Wow. Yeah, because they can claim discrimination.
Yeah.
You have to show that you're treating everyone the same.
So, at-will state, sorta.
Regardless, you know, I don't know if you guys saw in the news, too, the reports on the automakers here in Detroit seem to be doing quite well. We've seen reports of auto sales going up. The stock market seems to be doing really well overall. I'm not going to throw out any numbers because I don't know what any of them mean. But, you know, I just know what the headlines tell me. All three of the big three here in Detroit are up as far as business is concerned, despite still being kind of the same ignorant, non-forward-thinking companies that they were in the past that caused them to fail in the first place, frankly.
Right, especially with all their alternative fuels. cool vehicles that they're supposed to be making.
Right. Well, you know, I read a story that back in 2010, Google had a meeting with representatives of the big three, and it didn't really go so well at all. They were really on opposite sides of just about every issue.
Told you, man, they're keeping down that automatic car, man.
Oh, yeah, well, that's what they approached them on.
Yeah.
And they're
saying, fuck no. Yeah. And hell no, they don't want that. I'm telling you. You think I'm...
Especially, I mean... Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure they don't want
it. You dismiss me as a fucking high-on, and I'm telling you, man,
I'm not disagreeing with that at all.
Plausible logic.
I'm telling you that the driverless car is inevitable.
Law enforcement won't let it happen. Law enforcement and oil.
The reason that Detroit is afraid of the driverless car is because it bases all of its marketing on this car being an extension of you and how you're seen in the world and your status symbol and how fast this thing is going to go. For many people, it would be really difficult for them to adjust to a driverless vehicle. I relish it. I cannot wait.
I'd come in handy on days like 4th of July when you drink, you know, a case of beer.
But here's Google.
Take me home.
One of the most forward-thinking and wealthiest companies in the U.S. who wants to do business with you. You just can't see past your own nose to say yes to any of it. And so they're just going to sit back and, well, let's see about this. Well, they'll see. They'll see when we have to bail them out again, which I didn't agree with in the first place.
Barry O ain't going to be around in another couple decades. And
you think anybody else would have handled that differently?
Oh,
we're a swing state. Michigan's a swing state still. We could go either way. And whoever lets the automotive industry fail is not going to get many votes in Michigan.
Yeah, that was Obama ensuring he was going to take Michigan in 2012. That's what that was.
So was the unions thing?
I'm sure there was lots of union money and thrown his way.
The whole immigration issue now is to help secure Hillary for 2016. They're just securing votes. That's the major voting block that's up for grabs these days. It's Mexicans, basically. Not that the illegals are voting. Is that they have the ears of the people who are here legally who are voting. That's why it's such an issue. That's another thing that's been in the news is Obama's plan for giving a path to citizenship.
What's his executive order he's about to go do?
He wants to pass this law that gives illegal immigrants who are in this country a way to apply for citizenship and still be able to work here, basically, and contribute to the society.
Isn't that called a visa?
Yeah, but you can't sneak into a country and then ask them for a visa. Visas you apply for while you're still out of country.
I get what you're saying now.
It's a post ipso facto visa, I guess. There's no way that he's going to get it passed through Congress. I mean, he just doesn't
he's doing an executive order.
Yeah. So that's why he decided to do the executive order.
Which still have to vote on, which people forget about. Yeah, Congress does have to approve the executive order.
Yeah, but it's a different voting process. I wish, you know, I shouldn't even talk because I have to look up the exact way that this works. But you are right. But this actually goes back to the thing that we had talked about last week with John Boehner and his lawsuit, because that's part of the reason these executive orders are the reason why he has this proposed lawsuit against Obama. But one thing that I didn't take into account, and I was watching Bill Maher show, and he had mentioned it, that any law that they try and get passed, they'd have to pass a new law saying that you could sue the president first. And any law would have to be signed by the president. So the president's not likely to sign a law saying you can sue me.
Yeah. Hey, I'm signing this in a law that says you could sue me. No, that ain't happening.
That's a nice loophole.
Not going to happen.
Well, another spot where Google was in the news real quick was, they had appealed to the Supreme Court. There's a high court judge in another state who was slated to hear a case, basically the people versus Google. This case was basically the people versus Google, because when they were doing their Google mapping in their little tour, you know, going around in the cars with little balls on the top, they use Wi-Fi to help their positioning. And that's how part of how Google Maps work. It accesses GPS. GPS and Wi-Fi. And when they did so, they accidentally downloaded some information on these network, these Wi-Fi networks, these private networks that were unsecured.
So basically taking their information.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were just pinging the router for information as to location, but they got back more than they wanted because of the nature of the unsecured networks.
Well, I guess the question is, did they use any of the information?
Well, no, it was a complete gap.
The ill-gotten gains.
No, absolutely not. And they didn't even mean to do it. They tried to appeal. They appealed their case to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court refused to hear it. They ended up settling for $7 million.
Wow.
Each?
So $7 million total.
Like, who did they pay? Was it a class action lawsuit? Or?
Yeah, it was a class action lawsuit. That's what it was. There was a number of people who...
And who knew? How did...
Yeah, how did they know Google took their info?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
That is a very
if
good
Google
question.
If Google did not use it, how do they know that it was taken?
I don't know. I can understand where this is a privacy thing, but aren't you... Like, well, the analogy that I gave is like, if you left your door unlocked, it doesn't give somebody the right to walk into your house and steal your television. But if you call the police and you tell them, well, they took my television, well, how'd they get in? Well, I left my house unlocked while I was gone. They'd say, well, what do you want us to do about it? If you're going to go around leaving your door unlocked, how can we help you? There should have been way more personal responsibility looked at in that case. To sum up, yay Supreme Court on religious freedom, yay Supreme Court on realizing that unions are dead, and boo Supreme Court on not realizing that Google was just trying to provide a service and not infringe on anybody's rights.
America.
We didn't cover one more thing about the birth control thing. Did you see the White House's statement?
No.
To that? There is a statement from the White House. The quote on that was that the decision jeopardizes women's health. I was trying to expand the liberal side of my brain as much as possible and think of any possible scenario that could happen. And I failed. I could not figure out how not providing birth control would endanger somebody's health.
That's so stupid. I have nothing to say about, like, I mean, wow. Just wow. Like, do you think we're that fucking stupid? This is what you say to us? Well, apparently the answer is yes. The answer is a resounding yes.
Clearly, the popular opinion is for the people on this, as we mentioned earlier. So that's why they come out with this statement. They're appealing to the masses with this, even though I don't know where the hell they're coming from at all.
Wait for Congress to pass a law that they can fucking overturn Supreme Court decisions.
They're just that dude in the room that pops their head. Oh, what's going on here?
Hey, what's going on over here, guys?
Well, this kind of ties into the Google story, too. But there is Facebook was required to hand over information. It was 381 different users had their personal information handed over to the federal government that was investigating fraudulent claims on disability.
So, like, what pictures of them, like, you know, lifting weights when they're claiming their back's thrown out? Right. Or?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, they're seen in public in a wheelchair, but they're, like, you know, posting how great their yoga session was online, which, I mean, god damn it, people. Everybody sees anything you put online. How do you not realize that? What aren't you getting about this? During the investigation, they approached Facebook. They said, hey, you guys have evidence that we need to prosecute this case. Hand it over. And Facebook was like, no, that's personal info. And that goes against our privacy agreement. The federal government said, well, we'll just see a judge and get a warrant. And they did so.
Mm-hmm. They're the federal government. They will always figure a way to get what they want. They will always figure it out. They'll make laws to do what they're trying to do.
Right.
I mean, maybe this is where I watch too much TV, but it seems like a big part of the way that the system works is knowing the disposition of the judges, and knowing which judges you can go to get certain things. So, you know, I know that so-and-so is very conservative and he's very pro-choice or something like that. So, you know, I know I can take this to him and he'll rule in a certain way because I know his beliefs. I think that's a big part of the system. The judge was quoted as saying that he thought that the warrant was legal because Facebook is a, quote, digital landlord, virtual custodian, or storage facility. So that's how they're looking at this as, which if you can say that about Facebook, you can say that about anything digitally because if you want to talk about cloud technology, granted, this was a U.S. High Court. This was not the Supreme Court. And hopefully we will see a definitive Supreme Court decision on this in the future, that's pretty major. Anything that you put into the cloud, you are automatically putting out there for whoever, basically. If somebody wants to investigate you for some reason, that's fair game, just as much as any, just as much as your property. The seizure of your property would be fair game. Just good to know what, you know, what the landscape out there. Obviously, if you're not, if you've got something that you want to keep private, if you're not encoding it in some way, then you're just a fool.
Right.
Well, if I'm going to defraud the federal government,
I don't know, they
stay away from Facebook because they'll give you up.
I don't have anything to hide. And also, there's just the notion that the more information that's out there, the less likely they are to actually get anything out of that information. You know, it's just more white noise, more background noise.
Why don't you chill out?
Let's lighten it up.
We got some light stuff to talk about. Rob, I didn't tell you the story that I read on BBC's site that was about, where was this guy from? I think it was Minnesota. I'm pretty sure it was Minnesota. 52-year-old man that they're hailing as a hero because he bent a car door in half to remove a gentleman from a car that was on fire.
Holy cow.
I'm reading the story, and it's talking about how he was, you know, saved this guy, and he was praised by the rescue team that arrived on the scene and said that this guy in the car would have perished if it wasn't for this citizen who just happened to be driving by, see this car filling with smoke, and pried the door off and pulled him out of there. To actually pull, he didn't bend it in half. They said he bent it in half.
Right.
What do you got there? So... He got his fingers into the top part of the where the car seals, you know, or the door seals against the body of the car or whatever, and just pulled that skinnier part of the door down until the glass broke, and he used his foot to wedge against the side of the car. I'm not a big guy. I could probably do that, you know, especially in an emergency situation. Especially in an emergency situation where, you know, you felt somebody was at risk. But then the question arises, what was going on inside this vehicle that the guy couldn't free himself from it, right?
Right.
At least to me. Well, then there was a short little paragraph at the end of it saying that during this whole process, the man, who is unnamed, was in the car, mind you, with the doors locked, windows up, holding his breath.
What?
I wish we had a gif of how big Rob's eyes just got.
Your face was priceless.
His eyes just became saucers. Yeah. So, I mean, this is the situation, apparently.
So this guy coped with the situation.
He held his breath.
He was quoted as saying, "Thank God my wife and kids weren't there."
What are you waiting for, Superman?
Yeah. Like, wake up, man. You're going to get the hell out of that car.
His car, he said, the car started filling with smoke. He didn't know what to do, so he held his breath. And the rescue team was like, if he would have been there in there another 30 seconds, he would have died.
Right. Holy.
I'm like, okay, thank you, hero, for preventing natural selection.
Right. Hold your breath. Wow.
Yeah, guy should have fucking... Darwinism.
Let that one go.
Let that guy go.
Yeah.
Let him go, man.
The guy who sits in his car and holds his breath while it's on fire doesn't get to live anymore.
No.
That's how that should have went.
Because that might involve more people one day. He might get back in that situation and just screw it up all
That's what I'm thinking is like, thank God your family wasn't with you, but what about next time? I hope this never happens to you again. What are you going to do? Like, you have a house fire, you're like, kids, get into the basement.
Yeah. Hold your breath. Put these wet towels on your head.
We're all going to get in the basement. We're going to hold our breath. We're going to wait for the fire department and Superman to come save us.
Oh, I should
hold your breath.
I'll tell you guys a short version of something that happened to me at work when I was working at the Guitar Center. We had a small fire in the bathroom. Bathroom fan caught fire and filled the bathroom with smoke. And it was, we were getting ready to close up, and it was me and another manager that were closing up the store. And the other manager ran to the front and told we used to have girls that worked at the front door to check stuff out, told her to lock the door, to not let anybody out. And he came back to the bathroom, and I was getting the fire extinguisher off the wall so I could put out this small fire that was there. And he said, no, don't use the fire extinguisher. Those things have to be recharged.
What?
And he hits the drinking fountain just outside the bathroom to try and get some water out of it to throw on the fire. Well, the drinking fountain, the fire had caused a short that caused the drinking fountain to not operate anymore. Meanwhile, I'm pulling the pin on the fire extinguisher, just going, "It's okay, dude. This is what it's for."
Right. Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah.
Was this guy in charge?
We were both at equal level.
So he's probably CEO by now.
Yeah. Making big decisions.
Oh my God. Yeah. That guy probably has kids.
Who did you learn fire safety from? Homer Simpson?
Right. Just running around in a circle with your hands above your
head. Oh, that's classic. Well, yeah, it is probably...
No, I'm going to wave a piece of paper and it's going to create wind. It'll blow it out.
Well, this is a little bit lighter. Actually, if you see the pictures, maybe we'll post a link to this on our website so you can check out. But some of these images are kind of dark. But this is a story on Bleeding Cool about this guy, Sean. I'll really try and get your name right. DeMumbrum. He's a writer for Bleeding Cool, and he's put together a couple of comic book anthologies based on musical artists. And the new one is Nine Inch Nails that he's curating right now. And he's...
making like a Nine Inch Nails comic book?
Well, yeah. It's stories inspired by Nine Inch Nails called Nothing Can Stop Me Now. You know, in this article, he talks about his love for Nine Inch Nails. And the other stuff that he's put together, there was two compilations based on the songs of the Smiths. There was one based on the Pixies. So now he's doing Nine Inch Nails.
Like, is it based on songs?
Well, or yeah,
stories that
directly inspired by Nine Inch Nails. So looking at the photos,
they got some fucked up songs if you know anything about Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Looking at the pictures of some of the artwork that they have already for this, it is very dark stuff. But it ranges from just looking like just inspired by the music in general to actually trying to illustrate certain themes in some of the songs. You know, there's one here with like a guy that's like Hellraiser style, like suspended by chains, and it looks like he's got some kind of angel, like he's got one angel wing and one devil wing or something. It's going to be a combination of actual illustrated stories and what we would call pinups, or just one page characters or pictures. Now, this is currently in production. You can already check out the other work that he's done on the Pixies and the Smiths. But there's a Kickstarter for this if you're looking to help get this actually going, because he wants to do a little bit more than he did in the past with this one. I guess the past it was soft cover. He wants this to be a hardcover, deluxe, really like coffee table edition style book. So if you're interested in checking out some of the pictures that are on there, if you're a Nine Inch Nails fan at all, you'll probably enjoy it. If you're a comic book fan, you'll probably really enjoy it. You can look at Bleeding Cool's website. Just search for Nothing Can Stop Me Now or Nine Inch Nails. And you'll find a link to the Kickstarter campaign as well, which is, I think it's just called Nothing Can Stop Me Now is the name of the campaign, if you're interested in supporting it.
But Rob's jamming over there.
Yeah, Rob, you're into Nine Inch Nails, right?
Yeah, I enjoy their band.
That's a band I've seen them never.
No,
but, I've seen them a couple times. They're up pretty
they did,
awesome.
They did
live,
the
man.
First Lollapalooza around here, didn't they? Were they first year Lollapalooza or second year Lollapalooza? I think they were first year because
I was in like seventh and eighth grade.
Because
when
I didn't see
them.
That's right. I'm older. I went to the second Lollapalooza. I've never seen Nine Inch Nails. Last time they came through, I declined a ticket and kind of regretted it, especially after I saw some of the footage. Have you seen?
Yeah.
Their shows are really amazing.
Yeah, right? I just said I saw them a few times. Pretty fucking badass, man.
Yeah. Have you seen any from their tour from last year? The light show that they had? It's this whole three-dimensional light show. It's like really insane.
A 3D light show?
I guess that's what you'd call it. They had a curtain in front of them that had lights on it, and a curtain behind, and more lights behind them.
They play off a lot of
depth. They have like a screen
field,
that they play in front of and behind. I don't know how to describe it other than like a 3D light show. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got into Nine Inch Nails in high school. You know, just met somebody who was really into them. They're like, oh, you got to check out this tape. You really got to hear this. And that was mind-blowing. I had never heard anything like that before. And then by the time I had graduated, Broken and Fixed had come out, and those just got played endlessly. I think eventually Alice in Chains' Dirt knocked that out of its top, knocked Broken and Fixed out of their top position when that came out. But those two and the Downward Spiral, just fantastic art.
Broken came out when I was in middle school, but the Downward Spiral it was huge when I was in high school.
Yeah,
for a good two or three years, man. Just fucking, and it was everything he put out off that album too. Just seemed to be fucking. It would dominate, you know. And they're rock radio staples to this day. You know, they're still playing Closer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've been on a tear reading a lot of comic books lately. Actually, I was up the other night and read every issue finally that I'd been collecting of Injustice. Is the comic book series based on the video game, which, I mean, I know it sounds like a recipe for disaster, but is actually really, really good.
That sounds good.
It's actually, I mean, it's a crazy story. It involves just about all the main characters from the DC universe, but it's an alternate version of it. And anybody who's played the game is familiar with the basic story. Obviously, there's a lot more to that going on in the book. Great number of artists that have contributed to it. Tom Taylor is the guy who wrote it. Pretty amazing writer. It's the first time that I read any of his stuff, but he really has a way of presenting, because each one of these, it's a digital comic book, which is actually the first digital comic book that I've followed. Have you read any? You've read comics digitally, right?
Right.
But have you ever read anything that was made for the digital format?
No.
I've explored some of them and tried to be interested, because there are some interesting things going on out there with these, digital comic books, but I'm not so interested on the flashy stuff where it's like they have it set up where it's like one scene and the character or the object will move.
I have seen that.
You tap it and the next page will take it over a panel and
parts
like that,
of the, yeah,
that art. Stuff is just, it's cool the first time you do it, but then it's like, okay, I just really want a good story here, though, and that rarely follows with that type of format.
Right.
This is the instance where you get a good story with it, too. You get good writing, good dialogue. But it is all digital. It's a shorter format. If you read it on an iPad horizontally, it fits perfectly on there.
Nice.
So it's not like the type of full page that we're used to seeing, and the writing is very concise. And he's really good at just with a few lines of dialogue, really showing the character traits that make these core characters essential. You know, Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman and Green Lantern and everybody.
Right.
So I feel so adventurous right now.
Yeah.
We're like flying over Gotham.
I can't contribute shit to these conversations, so I can at least give you cool background music.
Yeah,
to talk
that's good
over.
Music.
Well,
like, this is your guys' wheelhouse. I just sit back and I know when to shut up.
You know, not all of the stuff that I read is superhero based. Although I do have a great love for Batman and the X-Men, and a lot of, and the Avengers. You know, a lot of costume heroes. There's so much still going out there with non-costume hero related comic book stuff. Some of it's still really action and adventure packed. Both of you might enjoy the series that I read recently. I read the first volume of Velvet, which is a comic book written by Ed Brubaker. Do you know who Ed Brubaker is?
I've heard the name before.
Yeah, you're probably familiar with his name. It's been out there a little bit more because he was responsible for a major arc in Captain America, the Winter Soldier, which...
Okay, that's probably where I heard his name.
Like, the storyline that they used in the movie, the Winter Soldier Captain America movie, that came from Ed Brubaker's story from Marvel Comics.
Okay.
But big fan of Ed Brubaker. He's done Daredevil. He's He did a long run, a fantastic run on Captain America. He's very kind of gritty. If you're into, like, you know, spy novels or, like, stuff like The Bourne Identity.
Yeah, I've read a couple of James Bond, Ian Fleming novels.
Yeah, well, okay, so you might enjoy Velvet. Okay. Velvet takes place in the 70s, I believe, and it's about... Velvet is a... She's a secret agent, but basically she's the secretary for this agency. She kind of gets herself in a bind investigating the murder of one of the agents and gets framed for murder. Turns out that she herself is an extremely competent secret agent that nobody else in the agency was aware of. Yeah, so this is very, like, cross, double cross, triple cross thing, you know, peeling back the layers of the onion, right?
It sounds like a good story.
Tons of intrigue and mystery and sex, and it's way different, though, because it's all, really, I mean, Velvet is the main character. This woman is, like, in her mid-40s, maybe even pushing 50, but she's the one that's going around, you know, seducing people and killing people and kicking them in the face and breaking into places and doing all this James Bond type of shit.
Powering woman.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting to see it from that perspective. But if you're just, regardless of the gender of the main character, if you're at all interested in spy intrigue, you know, mystery type of stuff, you'll probably really dig it. Really dark kind of noir, gritty fiction.
Sounds good. You don't hear many stories like that.
Yeah, well, he is well known for A Criminal was another series that he did that was really good. I love that we have themes this.
I like it.
And, I guess the only other thing that I read that really grabbed me was the new Superman.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. Yeah,
back to the costume heroes real quick before we wrap up this part of it. So you read the new Superman.
Yeah.
You said it was like issue 32 or something like that or something.
33?
I don't know. It's the... Jeff Johns is the writer for it, who has been doing a lot of work on Green Lantern. If you're a Green Lantern fan at all, you know who he is. I'm not. Like, he seems to be very much one of these high concept guys.
Okay.
You know, the universe is constantly coming to the end, it's constantly hangs in the balance. Mm-hmm. But I really was interested in the new Superman because of the artist.
It was really nicely done.
I thought that was fantastic. That was some of the best Superman art that I've seen in a long time. I'm a little biased. I think you're much more of a Superman fan than I am, I think.
Right. Well,
but I'm not really a Superman fan, but to the right...
More Batman.
Oh, yeah, certainly. But the right artist, the right writer can... can get me interested in him. And this might stick. It seems like an interesting story. You only get a gloss over it. It's really, you don't get much meat on this first issue of this arc.
It starts you off pretty fast, though.
It does, yeah. But the art is extremely dynamic. And if you're not familiar with John Romita Jr.'s work, he is hands down, he is my favorite comic book artist. And, his work goes back not only to him doing early X-Men in the, I believe in late 70s is when he started, which is right just before the time when I started getting into the X-Men.
Right.
I was started buying comic books by the time I was 5 years old. And that was 1980.
Oh, nice.
But he's more recently known for he was the artist on the Kick-Ass series.
I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah. And also, his father was a comic book artist as well. John Romita is like one of the most famous Spider-Man artists out there. The Kick-Ass movies, have you read the comic?
I've seen some of it. I never really got into it.
It's gritty. It's violent. It's graphic. And it's written by Mark Miller, who he is pretty much known for that type of stuff. He's got very cinematic comic book style, I guess. It's clear that this guy would rather be writing movies than comic books in general.
Right.
He had a good concept and some good writing in Kick-Ass. It was a very enjoyable series. First movie, really a different take on it, really more comical. And then they tried to go more back to the gritty side for part two.
I think that was too over the top.
Man, that movie, I actually didn't finish it. And it's rare that I I actually just...
Really?
I will... You say, I've watched some crap before, you know, just because it's on. But like, that was just like, oh, fuck, this movie just drags.
Right.
It was not enjoyable at all. There was no real character development at all. I know that's not what you're looking for in a movie like that generally, but there has to be something there.
Right.
There has to be something to attach to. Yeah, it was just a big disappointment. I actually thought that, and it's strange that Jim Carrey thinks so little of his performance in that movie, I guess.
Yeah, I thought he did pretty well.
I thought he was amazing. He was the best part about that. He did a great job. And I actually kept forgetting that was Jim Carrey underneath all that makeup.
Right.
And it wasn't because of the good job of the makeup. It was really, you know, the way that he carried himself and his voice and everything. I think hats off to him. But definitely the best thing about Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah.
Is this the theme from Kick-Ass?
Yes.
Is that okay? Yeah. Is that what's going on?
It's Kick-Ass main theme.
Kick-Ass.
It's the name of every song I write. Anything else fun?
Maybe we should address real quick then, because we've talked about net neutrality a number of times here, and read an article in Wired about net neutrality that it was called What Everybody Gets Wrong About the Debate on Net Neutrality. And we've talked about it here, and it's been talked about widely all over the place about the idea of having fast lanes for access. I've voiced my opinion that it was unfair to give advantage to somebody like, well, Google or Netflix or anybody who's providing a lot of content to have faster access to internet. Sorry, broke down there for a second.
What you trying to say, man?
So the idea of fast lanes is something that I said, you know, is unfair. Turns out that that's already the system that we have in place. If you're interested, you can go see the article on Wired, and they actually kind of diagram it out for you. The internet doesn't operate the way that we think of it as just sending, like, use these lines to send information through Comcast to Google, and I get this response back that comes through Comcast to me. But in truth, there's actually people who provide a lot of content, like Google, and certainly YouTube's part of Google, but Facebook or Netflix was the other example that I had given. These guys actually just kind of sit on the servers.
Mm.
They already have faster access to it. So it's really not about... It really doesn't come down to who has faster access to the internet or the fastest access or the most access to it. It really comes down to the physical lines themselves that are going to be the problem. That maybe clarifies some of what we were talking about last week when Tim Wu, the person who coined the term net neutrality, kind of came out against what people thought they were fighting for, which they were their understanding of net neutrality, which was the opposition to fast lanes. And Tim Wu was like, there's already fast lanes. The real problem here is who's going to control the lines.
Wait, you mean Wikipedia was wrong?
I mean, everybody seems to get this one wrong because I read stories from what I thought were very reliable sources that, you know, said that this was a disaster for the future of the internet, that, you know, the freedoms that we experience now online are going to be a thing of the past. We're going to have more restrictions because of this. And really, it doesn't change anything. What the FCC is trying to do right now is just solidify terms for what a practice that we're already using. And nobody seems to have a problem with the way that's operating now. So, yeah, just a little correction on a topic that we've brought up a number of times.
You're all wrong. That's what he just said. You're all fucking wrong.
Everybody got it wrong.
Anything else? I got nothing.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Oh, you know, they can't all be winners.
I think we had a great discussion
today.
Yeah,
I've learned some stuff.
If anybody's got an opinion on any of this stuff, hey, let us know.
Yeah, hit our email.
They can hit us up through...
Yeah, well, I was going to thank everybody.
You got the list.
I was going to thank everybody for listening. Thank you for liking Christopher Media on Facebook and following us on Twitter. You can search Christopher Media on Twitter or at Unregimented Pod to reach this show specifically, which is what these two gentlemen were just talking about.
Yes.
If you want to disagree with us, if you want to tell us we're cool, if you want to tell us we suck, send us naked pictures. I don't know. Just
wow.
You could subscribe to any Christopher Media show on iTunes by clicking through the banner on ChristopherMedia.net. And like I said, if you happen to also buy anything after clicking through that, we get a little piece of that. So if you buy a song on iTunes, we'll get like a dime, maybe. Perhaps a nickel. But every little bit helps.
Yeah, all the support counts, even if it's a small donation or just telling a friend to, check out our podcast.
Yeah, right now our main, other than online, I mean, our main source of advertising is word of mouth. You could support Christopher Media, too, by donating using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. Please click through the Amazon banner. You bookmark the page, and when you buy something, Amazon gives us a little change back to help keep Christopher Media going. One last thing, if you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of your favorite Christopher Media shows, you know, all one of them, like Unregimented,
yep.
The Weedsman Podcast, Eminem Question Everything, Metalhead Offensive, our boy Toddzilla X.
Yep.
Should be a new episode any day now. I was talking with him yesterday. No way. By the time you actually hear this, you will have already heard his new episode. But
awesome.
Whenever you click through the HostGator link, you're helping to support ChristopherMedia.net. Check out Unregimented every Monday, the Weedsman Podcast every Friday. Eminem usually hit out on Sundays, as does the Metalhead Offensive. I believe they took the holiday week off. They should be back next week. Todd is just kind of putting them out as he's making them, which is interesting and exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Take it easy.
See you next week.
Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.